Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for breakfast on the Catch Up podcast. For Adelaide Tools, with 5 locations, Paraka, Lonsdale, St Mary's, Gawler and Mile End. Or go online at adelaidetools.com.au.
Oh, Roo, we're all here for you, mate. We're all rallying around this morning.
Bloody crows.
Oh, mate.
Roo, the good thing about Thursday night footy, if you win, is you can just have a bit of fun Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
And think you're, you know, King Farouk. And but when you lose, geez, it hurts. You got to think about it for a few days.
I didn't see that result coming, Roo.
I thought it was a chance.
Did you?
Yes. I've been the underdog king to you this year, telling you when the Crows played Freo and when Port played Brisbane, I said the odds are out of whack. You know, it can happen. We've had games this year. We had rounds this year, Dits, where all 9 sides lower on the ladder beat the sides above them on the ladder. We've had already had a round this year where 18th, 17th and 16th won in one round.
Gee.
And Hawthorn are the best 17th side in the competition.
Probably in history.
I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And their best is still good, and but their worst has been shocking. And Adelaide got them up near their best for the year. And Crows have been in a slump for about 5 or 6 weeks. And anyone who's watched them would know that. You know, against St Kilda, they were good in a half. They were poor in the second half of that game. Against Brisbane up there, that sugar-coated their first half. North Melbourne, they were poor. Melbourne, they were poor. You know, they beat Freo by 100 points, but, you know, did Freo rock up. I think they haven't been in good form for a while.
Yep.
And they got another little reality check of how even the competition is, and they're a false premiership favourite in my eyes.
Come on, the Wag will make you a coffee in a minute, and you'll kick. You'll be right.
You're going to be right?
Yeah. Look, I listened to Triple M Rock Footy last night, and I thought you were very, very good, Roo. You're very fair. You praised Hawthorn in the right times.
Oh, look, they did well, Hawthorn. You can't deny that. And young Burton's just...
wasn't he good?
Did a couple of important things. He's going to be an absolute star, that kid.
Yeah. Lawrence Mooney coming up this morning. Hey, Matt Preston's here, and I didn't recognise him. He hasn't got a cravat on this morning. He's out there getting ready in the kitchen.
Beautiful.
He's coming in later on. We always love it when he comes in.
Oh, he's a good fellow, Matty Preston.
The big thing that's happened, of course, is the budget yesterday, and boy, is it controversial. I mean, from where I sit, I think there are many, many positive announcements for us, but it's caused some controversy right around the nation.
Yeah, look, they're calling Tom Coutts and Turnus an incompetent politician. They're calling it economic vandalism. The banks are absolutely furious about what they've done. But it's sort of half smart in one way. No one whinges about the bank. Most people in the general population couldn't give a stuff about the banks.
No.
And that's probably why Malcolm Turnbull did it. But, I know reading the papers, especially the economic papers today, they are furious, the banks. And if they're the only thing I'd say about this, and I said it when the federal government put in, we're kidding ourselves if we think that's not going to get passed on to us. You, me,
yeah, but
Mel.
You see what Coutts and Turnus has done?
What?
He's bringing in legislation to ensure that they don't pass it on to the consumer.
Yeah, well, everyone who's got shares in the bank, which most people super and all of that, all this, the values are going to go down anyway. So it's going to get you one way or another. So, it's a gutsy thing by Coutts and Turnus.
Well, he's coming in. He's coming in to face the music, Tom. So that'll happen later on this morning. Ruined. It's all thanks to Adelaide Tools here on Triple M.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Apart from the footy, what's making news around the joint?
Well, a couple of celebrities. One's got loaded and one's got unloaded. Boris Becker, one of the superstar tennis players that we grew up with.
I think
he's the youngest ever 17. Wimbledon 17. Winner, was he?
He went back to back at 17.
How can you do that?
That's pretty good.
He's broke.
That's unbelievable, isn't it?
Now, they're saying he was worth tens of millions of dollars at one point. How many marriages has he had? One or two?
A couple, but there have been other partners as well along the way.
So divide the fortune by two and then divide it by two again and then get caught or getting a girl pregnant in the broom cupboard. That cost him some millions. He's had a bit of relationship troubles.
One thing I've read this morning is that he owes a private bank $5 million. Now, that suggests that he took out a big loan or something, I guess, or invested in something.
Spanish villa, I think.
Right.
He's had plenty of time to come up with the dough and hasn't. So,
boom, boom, bust.
Boom, boom, bust. Unfortunately, don't like to see anyone go broke, but Boris looks like he's in a bit of trouble there. On the flip side, our mate George Clooney, who has gone into gin making. It was just a little pastime for him, like making a bit of home brew because he couldn't afford to go and buy the real stuff.
No, he
might make $1 billion out of just selling his gin.
Now, was it gin or tequila?
Oh, sorry, man. It might even be tequila, was it?
I think it was tequila.
Okay, one of the two. Anyway, the important bit is he's made $1 billion.
Yeah, and he needs it.
Whether he's made it from gin or tequila. Yeah. But, a big company. Looks like they've gone, that's good. I'll buy that. Mm. And we might even let everyone know it was yours. Because I reckon it might be a handy little selling point that George made. He might even feature in the ads, Dits.
Could do. He does those.
He does them for coffee, doesn't he?
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah, beautiful.
This is what they're doing in his lounge room right now.
Maybe George.
As he's got the check.
The type of bloke George is, he might lend Boris, $5 or $10 million. And
he's changed now.
Yeah. And come around and give his kids a few tennis lessons or something like that.
Now, closer to home, tell me about the town of Kimber.
Well, the town of Kimber has been one of those sites that the government have been talking about for nuclear waste storage.
Yeah.
And the people of Kimber, and we know a few people from over Kimber. It is a beautiful part of town, over there. The Butterfields, they've voted for it, actually. 394 to 296, so not exactly
landslide,
but they're up for the debate. They're up for a bit more information about perhaps storing some nuclear waste over at Kimber. So we'll see what happens in the future with that one.
The other thing too, yesterday, big protest in Melbourne for the same sex marriage cords. The push for that, big protest against Margaret Court. Now, I do get a little bit cynical when I see these protests because, not taking sides, but...
People who just like to protest.
No, there are those that turn up for anything, the opening of an envelope. But also, you've got... My point being that the gay community, the lesbian gay community, has been crying out for years and years and years for inclusion and equality and acceptance. This is the very thing that Margaret Court is crying out for, that she be heard as well and that she be allowed to have her view. Do you agree?
Yep. Oh, she's definitely having her view.
So if you march down the street and say she should have her name taken off a famous tennis stadium and we hate her and we don't agree with her, how is that? Because as I said, from the way I see it, they've been crying out for inclusion and they think they've been ostracised for years and years and years, yet now they're ostracising her. I think you're allowed to have your say. Well, I know I touched on this weeks ago, so I'm banging on a bit about it. But,
that's all right, keep going, Diz.
Sorry, mate.
But anyway, do you want to ring Gil as well and tell him?
No, but no, Mum told me off after that.
Mum told you?
Mum told me off, yeah. So I've got to move on.
Have you learnt from it or are you not listening to Mum?
Probably not. I'm 53. I'm a slow learner.
Ruin Tits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Let's say good morning to Lawrence Mooney. How are you, Moon Man?
Talking of Adelaide Tools, good morning, Dits and Roo.
We're not in a very jovial mood. Well, I'm not anyway. Moon's after the Crows' pathetic performance last night.
Let's kick off on footy, shall we? Crows, first of all, going down to Hawthorn always hurts. And, of course, Hawthorn people have been suffering for a long time. I mean, their premiership drought is almost into the second year. And they just need a bit of success. But not only that, you copped an absolute shellacking from the top guy, I believe, who called you old and small-minded. Them's his fighting words, aren't they?
That was to Ditz, was it, or me? Mm.
I believe it was Gil McLaughlin saying that to one of you.
Yeah, me. Might have been Ditz.
Yeah.
Oh.
Mate, well, if you're going to get rubbished by the absolute top man.
That's right.
That's what I reckon.
Yeah. A polo player from the Western District, what I reckon.
Yeah. You sound like you got a bit of a man flu there.
Thank you very much for the sympathy. And I have got a man cold. It started as a little girl cold, bought from kindergarten, but then it mutates with the testosterone and it becomes a man flu.
Is that how it happens?
I've actually had a look at the research on this, and there has been a study done from the International Institute on Things quoted in the newspaper. and they did a study on mice and gave them bacterial infections, and the male mice suffer symptoms worse than the female mice.
Yeah.
So there, that's the story, done and dusted. But this is the way to treat a man cold. Everyone's got to give the man sympathy.
Yep.
So go out of your way to do that. Get a hokey remedy from someone at work. You know, he says eat whole lettuces and, do the downward dog. Yeah, he used to be a naturopath and now he's a tradie. and I look at the medications and it always says 12 years old and over. Mm. And I think, well, I'm not 12 years old. I'm bigger and better than a 12-year-old. So I always double.
Mm. Double
You've
it.
Got to double it.
Yeah. Twice
double
as it. Much.
Yeah, you're much better than a 12-year-old. I'm not going to be doing the same amount of Nurofen or Codral. And also half a bottle of bourbon before bed.
Right.
And drink sensibly.
And what do you do with the other half?
Leave for
just
tomorrow.
Just rub it on your chest.
Right. Let's move on. Prince Harry. Gee, he's come out firing, hasn't he?
There has been a really interesting in-depth interview. Now, being the product of two Liverpudlians, I am a royal watcher. I mean, right. We got our colour TV to watch Princess Di and Prince Charles married and sitting around eating Quality Street out of the celebratory tin.
Wasn't that a sham?
The marriage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the biscuits.
Yeah. Now, the chocolates stood the test of time. Actually, everyone kind of like that JFK moment or John Lennon moment, everyone remembers where they were when they heard the announcement that Princess Di had died. Mm. And I was actually at an Essendon versus Crows game at Princess Park. Mm. And they stopped. Everyone went silent and weirdly just stood up as well. So I have been interested in, you know, the course of those boys. And Prince Harry says that he thinks that it was pretty cruel that a 12-year-old kid was made to walk that distance behind his mum's coffin at the funeral.
I was in the pre-game coach's address, and the coach, the boys are in the saying before that game, Moons, Princess Di's died. Mm. So that was our pre-game, just to remember that moment.
Were you obviously playing for the Crows
at
Princess Park that day?
That's right.
And the other thing he said, Moons...
So we were in the same spot. Where were you, Ditz? What's your alibi?
I was on air. Everyone remembers where they were. I was on air. There you go. I had to announce it.
Moons, Ditz hates me saying this, but Ditz actually kissed Princess Di one day.
Mm. Oh, whereabouts?
Well, she was asleep.
I can't tell you whereabouts, but it was on a plane.
No, I mean, what was the location?
She was in first class.
Not the position on her body.
She was first class asleep. And Ditz walked past and said, I'm going to take this opportunity.
That's pash.
Okay, where were you?
We were flying to London.
Right.
Yeah.
Australia. And she was in the plane?
Yeah.
So you've done a grand hack it. Basically, you've assaulted someone on the plane.
Yeah, I got arrested for it. Yeah. I've done it. Yeah.
Ruined Ditz for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
7:15, Ruined Ditz for breakfast. Thanks to Adelaide Tools. What about their five stores, Roo?
Yes, absolutely. St Mary's, Lonsdale, Paraka, Gawler, and Mile End.
All right,
seven days.
Just a question without notice. Who runs the team at Paraka?
Guido.
Good work. Who runs St Mary's?
Smithy.
Shane.
Oh, his nickname's Smithy.
Smithy.
Shane Smith.
Righto. Lonsdale.
I don't know.
Dave.
Anyway. I know Andy at Mile End. That's
righto.
Where I go.
Good on
and
you.
Guido, he's not just good at tools, he's very good at fishing, Guido.
Is he?
Yes.
Righto.
Which means nothing to most people.
All right. Now, Tom Koutsantonis, by the way, is coming in after 8 o'clock and we're going to ask him all sorts of things. Have a listen to this.
For me, I think it's very sexy. I think it's got a red dress on and walking down the street. I think it's fantastic.
Well, a bit of comedy there by Tommy.
Different way to think of a budget.
It is. But tell you what, he rang up a few days ago and said, do you want me on Friday? Mm. So we knew it was going to be good news. And it's good news if you're going to be sick, I think, in the future, because our hospitals are going to be fantastic. We've got the RA down there. We're going to have a new women's and children's. The hospital at Queen Elizabeth is getting $250 spent on it. Lyle McEwen's getting money spent on it as well. So huge amounts of money put into our hospitals.
There are always the naysayers out there. In fact, I saw the Nurses Federation complaining yesterday. You never keep everyone happy, but if we've got the best hospitals in the world or in Australia, it's not a bad title to have. What's wrong with that?
Nah, there's nothing wrong with it. Not bad having a job, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that'll create jobs, surely.
Oh, a few construction
you need
jobs.
To fill. Hang on, you got to fill the hospitals as well with staff, don't you?
Yeah, but they're not making more beds, Ditz. They're just revamping it, making it look a bit more shiny, aren't they?
No, what happens at the RA, what happens at Queen Elizabeth and Lyle McEwen definitely needs more staff.
So where do they, what happens
Well, they got
then?
Rid of the cardiology department, for example, at
so
the Queen Elizabeth.
So where do people go when they need that done?
Right now, they're going to the RA.
Yeah, so if the jobs, what are they going to have? Twice as many people?
They'll have both.
Twice as many.
They're going back in to the QEH because they've been criticised for closing that department. So then I'll have two of those to share the load.
Okay. So the bank, anyway, the hospitals are big winners. There's no doubt about that. And that's good for all of the community. Public transport, there's been money spent on it. They're building two new schools.
Now, so there's more jobs right there. And again, I heard people yesterday criticising that it didn't mean more jobs. Well, if trains are now running later on most of the lines, which they are, you need more drivers.
Yep.
If schools are being built, a super school in the north and the south for 1,500 or 1,400 students each, their jobs there in construction and in teaching, education.
Yep.
So it is a positive job budget.
Yep, certainly in some sectors. The losers are the big banks. They are filthy after being slugged federally already for over $6 billion over 4 years. The state government's come out and going to tax them $370 million over 4 years. The front of the Financial Review is calling it economic vandalism. Lots of people are furious about it, but most people out there won't give a hoot what the banks feel because they think they're taking too much money. It'll probably make it, they'll probably pass it on, Dits, I think, one way or the other, whether it's lower profits through the that they make and goes back through shareholders in your super fund or shares that you own, or whether they just pass it on through rates when you go to the bank. So that'll play out, and we'll have a listen to what Tom says about that later.
The one thing we need to ask him about is what happened federally is they just said, right, we're taking $6 billion from the banks, right?
Over 4 years.
What he has said here is we will put legislation in place to ensure that our banks do not pass this on to the customers.
Yep. All right. Well, hopefully he's smart enough to do that.
Well, he said it. We'll ask him why. What are you going to do this morning?
Foreign investors who want to buy residential property in South Australia will be hit with a 4% charge. They're going to make $50 million out of that.
And that was about how he was quoted yesterday as saying, we're sick and tired of seeing prices go through the roof because maybe 10 Chinese buyers are all bidding for that house or something like that.
Yep.
And that means that you and I that want that house are having to pay an exorbitant price for it.
Does it mean they're not going to buy now because of that, or is it just going to mean the government's going to get $50 million out
of it?
Wait and see. Households haven't got any, this cost of living still going to go up. There's still speeding fines and water bills and all that have gone up. Emergency services, that's still gone up. The regions haven't got anything out of this budget, Dits. It's all an Adelaide budget. And that's about it.
So the two that I want to ask you about this morning, stamp duty, they did nothing with that. We still pay ridiculous stamp duty here in South Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to ask about the payroll tax where they have decreased it, but have they done enough?
Yeah, well, it's for very smaller businesses, I should say.
Still not enough.
He would say it's lowest in the nation, so it's a good start. But, we'll see what Tom has to say about it later on.
All right.
Ruin Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
And there are many highlights and lowlights during the week on this program, Roo.
Yep, and we replay them in this segment, The Week That Was.
The top five things we've learned on Ruin Dits this week.
Number five, we learned that surgeons these days really need to keep their eye on the ball.
Through. One bloke's been given $1.15 million because they removed the wrong testicle in hospital.
Yes.
Goes in to have the surgery and then took out the wrong one. Makes me think, how many times have you stuffed this up?
Yep. Oh, there's no doubt people would get the wrong knees operated, wrong ankles, all those sort of things. I'm a bit surprised about a wrong nut.
I would hate to wake up in hospital one day and they say, now, it was the sex change you wanted, wasn't it? And you go, no, that wasn't me, mate.
No, I was the extension.
Yeah. Bro. So can you reattach it, please?
Yeah.
This song goes out to that poor fella's remaining testicle. Number four, the ball kept rolling that morning, and in our pressure testicles contest, we learned Brendan is very creative.
So in 30 seconds, give us 10 different names for your testicles.
Balls, plums, testes, satsumas, grapes, the yo-yos.
Now, there are a few there that I haven't heard before. I think you've made a couple up. The yo-yos.
The yo-yos.
Thanks, Brendan. I'll never look at a yo-yo biscuit the same again.
Biscuit's delicious, filling up dishes on its yo-yo biscuits.
Goodness, what a biscuit.
Number three, we learned Ditts doesn't mind telling AFL chief Gillon McLachlan how to do his job.
Honestly, it's now laughable, Gillon, that's the truth.
Oh, they're deliberate out of bounds, which is what I think you're referring to.
Yes.
There will be mistakes.
Yeah, but 1 minute you can go to the boundary, but then 30 seconds later you can't. Why do it?
Do you think I don't get much feedback?
Well, then why are you defending it then?
Because I think the rule is good and it's made a positive impact on the game.
It's a crap
the occasional mistake. I reckon you're full of rubbish. It's a small-minded approach.
Don't fight, guys. Why can't this be love? And we learned Gillon doesn't mind telling us how to do our job.
Do you listen to ABC? This is Triple M here. We're actually modern and up with the modern standards of the game.
What about that song you played before? There's just nothing
wrong
about it.
You got me there. All right. You win that argument, but...
We have to talk about that song.
Why is that?
You cannot play it anymore.
Oh, hey, mate, I'm on your side.
Oh, my God. Anyone who goes, did it, you got to go, that's out. Did it.
Okay, Gillon, you fix the out-of-bounds rule and we won't play the song. And the number one thing we learnt this week is that Ruin Dits have some very strange listeners out there.
What are you up to today, Kat?
Yesterday, you know, had a few beers and I was also mourning for my tree frog that did die.
Oh, no.
So we had a bit of a wake and that's what we, celebrated.
What's the tree frog's name?
Rocky.
Rocky the tree frog.
The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows.
You going to cremate him or bury him?
Oh, Rue.
I made a little coffin and I bought a little tree for him and then a little cross and a little candle and my neighbour and I, we had a beer for him and then that's when it ended up at the pub.
Good on you, Kat.
He's probably crying right now.
Yeah, I'm pretty sad too.
Righto, we've got to move on, Kat. Sorry, 8:15
now. Do we have to?
Yep,
we've got to keep moving, sorry. Take it away, Kermit.
Moving right along in search of good times and good.
And the next time someone calls up to talk about their dead frog, we will be...
Moving right along. Moving right along.
I feel a children's book coming on here, Cat and the Tree Frog.
Cat and the Tree Frog Rocky.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm never dunking a yo-yo again either. I used to dunk yo-yos all day.
Mm.
104.7 Triple M.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
Ah! Pressure point.
Ruin Dits. Pressure test.
On a Friday morning, time to give away 500 smackaroos.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go to Wingfield. G'day, Tanya.
G'day, Roo. How you going?
Not as good as you, Tanya. What are you up to today?
I'm just on my way home. I've just left work for cleaning.
Yep.
And I'm a bit knackered and I could do with some cash for the day.
Righto.
Righto, Tanya.
We're feeling for you, Tanya. Righto. Listen to Ditch. You're going to get 10 correct answers in 30 seconds for you to get that cash.
Tanya, give us 10 members of the royal family.
10 members of the royal family. That's easy. You've got the Queen, you've got Prince Philip, you've got Harry, you've got William, you've got Kate, you've got Charles, you've got Camilla, you've got Prince Fergie's daughter, Beatrice, Eugenie, and Edward. And we'll make Andrew as well for number 11.
Oh, that is cocky, but brilliant.
Bloody hell. Let's get to the adjudicator before time.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Wow. Never done this before, Ruth. The clock was still ticking, and she said, wrap it up. I've got 11.
Confident, cocky, deliberate.
Wrap it up.
You even used her fingers, I reckon, while you were doing it, didn't you, Tanya?
No, I was actually pacing.
you counted 10 in your head while you were reading out the names. Yeah. Very clever.
Right. Good on you, Tanya.
What are you going to do with that 500? Clean as multitask.
Good on you.
Good on you, Tanya. Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Good on you, Tanya.
Righto. But, yeah, she was like, can you hurry up? You know, Get to it. Wasting my time.
She had another job.
Yeah. We love giving away the $500. Hey, in a moment, Roo, what's the budget going to do for you and I and for everyone listening? And by the way, after 8 o'clock, Tom Koutsantonis, the man who handed it down, will come into the studio and we get the chance to grill him.
Is he going to have a red dress on?
Yeah, how was that for a quote? It's a sexy budget. It's a red dress walking down the street. I like it.
Triple M.
It's the day after the budget, Roo. However, in a moment, we're going to just delay the pressure test for a moment.
$5,000.
Normally
worth.
It comes up now, but this is far more important. The treasurer, Tom Koutsantonis. Good morning.
Good morning. What of you?
Yeah, it's beautiful, it's very isn't good, it? Yeah. How long have you been a bank robber for, Tom?
Well, you know, I've always been on the run, but look.
Bank heist is on the front page of the Advertiser.
Hang on, it's gone national.
Economic
the Fin
vandalism's
Review.
On yeah. the Fin Review. Incompetent politicians, I read somewhere else. Why do you think you can just go and get $370 million off the banks?
Well, if Scott Morrison thinks it's a good idea, I tend to agree with him. This is a group of people that are making super profits. Last year, the banks made $30 billion in profit, and our tax is the equivalent of 0.3% of it. Now, they don't pay GST. They don't pay GST like everyone else does. So they're the only business that's been exempted that should be paying GST. So that's $4 billion a year they're not paying in taxes that they should be paying.
So do you think they won't pass it on to all the customers? Surely they will. They do it every other time.
Well, when the Commonwealth Government passed their new bank levy, they haven't increased any fees or charges to pass that on. So why would they do that here?
So do you think they'll just wear it and shareholders will make less money from their returns?
We're also going to pass a law saying that they can't create any new levies or specific charges to pass it on.
And you can do that?
Yes.
Yep, definitely. Yeah, look, do you know what? I applaud this. I really do. I've got quick figures here. So I know you know these, but you're right. NAB this year looked like making $7 billion, Commonwealth $10 billion, ANZ $6 billion, Westpac $8 billion. I mean, how much is enough? How much profit is enough?
And not only that, they have a government guarantee. So they can't fail. So if they fail, if their boards make decisions that send them broke, it's the taxpayers will bail them out.
So you're comfortable with what the rest of Australia or what the banks will think about South Australia after this or not? You don't care?
Well, whatever they're saying about South Australia, they were saying about Australia 2 weeks ago when the Commonwealth Government was going to introduce this levy.
Yep.
And I suspect that we won't be the last to introduce
this. But it's not the second sort of tax. You're not happy with just the federal government doing that? You think you can go again and get a bit more?
Well, they're $4 billion that they're underpaying. There have been a lot of independent analysis done of what the banks should be paying in taxes, and they're $4 billion short. This tax is an extra $90 million a year. Now, if $90 million is going to break the Australian banks, I'll go.
Yeah, we're in strife.
We're in strife.
Look, I think a couple of real, real positive things came out of yesterday. Often when a budget is handed down, most of us in the householders out there thinking, oh, I've got to pay more for this and more for that and transport's going up and whatever. But there were small increases yesterday on things like bus and train tickets and things like that. I think we can wear those and we understand those. But I did like the payroll tax one. The only question I would ask is, why didn't you go further?
Well, the question is, what size business do you reward? And I really wanted to back as much as I possibly can small businesses because I wanted to have the increase in the Jobs Accelerator grant for apprenticeships and trainees. So I've backed small business. So I've backed two cohorts. If you've got a payroll under $5 million and you hire someone new, we'll pay you $10,000. If you hire an apprentice or trainee, we'll pay you up to $15,000. And the payroll tax cuts are about rewarding those small business that are growing. So I didn't want to try and stretch it too much, but I've done it, I think, just enough to try and hit the sweet spot to try and get those small businesses really active. That'll affect 3,800 businesses employing about 50,000 people across South Australia.
And that's great. Look, it's all about job creation, right? But imagine if we had no payroll tax. I think there'd be a lot more people employed too.
That's right. Well, but that's also $1.2 billion to the state budget we wouldn't get every year.
And that one. But I still think it's a bad tax. It's a shocking tax.
It's a terribly named tax, but it's taxes that we use to fund our hospitals, our schools, our roads, and every state's got it. And if we don't have it, the question is, would it create more jobs? And two, where would we find that money from?
All right. What about stamp duty? You haven't done much with that, have you?
No, we've I'm halving conveyance duty, stamp duty on all commercial and business properties.
Right.
And next year I'm abolishing it altogether. And we'll be the only state in Australia.
Abolishing it?
Abolishing it. We'll be the only state in Australia not charging any stamp duty on any business property. So this building right now.
That's a big win.
That's magnificent.
That's a big win.
But it's still hard for mum and dads and first home buyers when you get that big $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 bill to buy a house.
That's right. So what we've done is we're offering a $10,000 cash grant for anyone buying an apartment off the plan.
Mm-hmm.
We're also offering $15,500 in stamp duty relief for buying an apartment off the plan. So with the council's new incentives, that's up to $40,000 off buying a brand new apartment. And any investor who buys a brand new apartment off the plan in South Australia will exempt it from land tax for 5 years.
What about the hospitals? You're going on a bit of a spending spree there. We know all about the RA, but you've extended it out. The Women's and Children's going to be built. We know the Queen Elizabeth, the Lyell McEwen. You're throwing money around in the hospital sector. Is it that bad? Is that what they really need? Or are we going to have and there's nothing wrong with this, by the way, but will we have the best hospitals of any state nearly in the world
We'll have more doctors and nurses than any other state in Australia, but the new Royal Adelaide Hospital you're looking at out your window now will be the best hospital in Australia and absolutely the best hospital.
Is it overkill or is it not overkill?
I think South Australians deserve the best healthcare we can afford.
Yeah.
But we're
going to afford that.
Absolutely. We've got budget surpluses across the next 4 years. So we've got plenty of money.
That's because you've sold off a little bit though, Tom, isn't it?
Yes. And I've been cutting very quietly in the background in the public service as well. So making sure we're spending less too. But
you've cut public servants.
Well, we've cut what we spend. We're a smaller government than we were 4 years ago.
Right. How much more?
I think people applaud. No, but anyone would applaud that.
Yeah.
We're just picking little things out of this as we think of them, right? This is always in the news, but Hoon Drivers. Now, I'm hot on this, revenue raising. Mm. So if I drive down King William Street and go past North Terrace, down towards the Adelaide Oval, and all of a sudden I look down and I go, gee, I'm doing 54 k's an hour here, I'm going to get pinged for being almost 10% over the speed limit, right? Mm. Not exactly Hoon driving. But you could argue that, yes, I'm speeding. I'm doing 54, 55. Yet we see a case where a man lost his life last week on the Mawson Lakes Boulevard, where I'm told people hoon and speed day in, day out, night times. Mm. Young lads go and do 200 k's an hour.
Mm.
Why wouldn't you have speed cameras in a place like that rather than King William Road and ping me for doing 54?
Good question. We don't decide where the speed cameras go.
But I think you can.
We can. We can put them up if there's a need. So what we'll be doing is the Road Safety Minister, Peter Malinauskas, will be going out to the community asking where they want these treatments put in place. So I think it's a good idea. If the communities think that there are some places we should be putting speed cameras where there's antisocial hoon behaviour going on, absolutely.
But haven't we heard about it long enough, don't you think? We know about it. It's been going on for a long, long time.
Well,
and we get pinged for doing 54.
No, look, trust me, I know exactly how you feel. And
I know. I am speaking to the right person here. I know
exactly how you feel.
We're all guilty, aren't we?
But look, I'd like to see more treatments, more roundabouts and more speed cameras in the right places.
Mm-hmm.
And look, it'd be great 1 year to get no money from speed cameras.
But I raise it with you because you're the treasurer and it is about revenue raising.
Well, I mean, I don't set targets for how much revenue we want to raise from speed cameras. The Road Safety Minister says, and the police say, we need these speed cameras here to slow people down and we get the revenue from it.
Good on you, Tom. Thanks for coming in. Very busy day, but we know we're the most important by a long way.
And absolutely. So
thanks for coming in and good luck and keep making those surpluses and splash a bit our way and we'll be happy.
Tom, the only thing I'll tell you before you leave, and we did throw a shout out to you yesterday, Tex Walker comes in once a week, Jackson Trengo comes in once a week, and they bring coffees. You've let us down, mate.
Yeah, your budget. Down. Yeah, come on. Open the purse strings a little bit.
We've got David here. You're
we've had the Hall of Fame this week. We've had footy last night.
David, I told you to bring in coffee. You just didn't listen to me, did you?
Bloody hell. Tom Koutsantonis.
Ruined dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Hey, Roo, I've copped a bit of criticism from my friends in the last couple of days.
What for?
I just want to know, as I go to you with all of these things when I've got a bit of an issue, just for a bit of reinforcement.
Okay.
So the lucky Kate and I and my boys, we've got this little investment unit, townhouse,
yeah,
and it's new.
Ironfish.
2 years old sort of thing.
Mm.
And anyway, I couldn't rent it out. I had a few months where it was been vacant. And anyway, fellas come along.
Was the price too high, was it?
No, not at all. I think there's a few out there at the moment vacant. But anyway, all of a sudden this lad comes along and he's from Sydney.
Yep.
He's shifting here for his work,
mm-hmm.
and he says, but I've got a German Shepherd. Oh, there
Jesus.
You go. And I said, yeah, no problem. And he went on to say, now it's a bit obviously
a German
big dog,
shepherd.
Big
You're
dog.
Allowed a German shepherd into your new property.
Yeah, and the point I'm making here
is toenail is going to be clipped.
I don't know. Up to him how he treats the place and looks after it. But you pay a bond, and I think the rule of thumb. Well, I think it's now 4 weeks' rent, so it's going to be
over 1,000.
Well, over 1,000, right? So you've got that there anyway, and I just don't see what the problem is. Whenever you read.
What if it rips your garden up and it costs you $8,000 to do your landscape?
There's no garden.
Right. Well, that solves that.
No, it's a little brick courtyard. Which
what if it scratches your walls or your tile, like your door?
Get
and
it repainted. No worries. Get a new door.
Or for under $1,500
Yeah. Or.
Or he just fixes it because he knows
because he's a decent bloke.
Yeah.
And he said to me, he's actually a marathon runner, and he said, I run the dog every day. He said, when we get home, don't worry. The dog just lays down and goes to sleep. Yep. And I don't know. I don't have a problem with it. But I raise this because a couple of my friends said, oh, you were mad. Why
I
would you
you're taking a risk.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. But whatever you're comfortable with.
All right, now, here's something. The last couple who just moved out were really nice people. And she said, and I'm a bit soft, she said, I've got a pet rabbit. I said, yeah, no worries.
Yeah,
bring the rabbit. Now, funnily enough, the rabbit did chew through the Venetian blinds and it chewed through something else. No, it did.
It chewed through the Venetian. What was it running around inside?
But we got it fixed. No damage, move on.
So a rabbit inside your house.
Yeah, and
don't
out
rabbits
in the courtyard
live
as well.
In the backyard?
Yeah, both. I don't have a problem. And the reason I raise this, everywhere you go, because the lovely Kate and I have got a dog, a border collie, everywhere you go on holidays, you cannot take a dog. I don't know what the fuss is.
So you're
is.
Looking at from an animal owner's
from
point of view.
From both sides of view, yeah. So anyway, I'm just saying to you, I'm happy to have this bloke and his German shepherd in my place. And why is it a problem?
Nah, well, let's just fast forward in 12 months and see if it has been a problem for you. Hopefully it hasn't. I'm sure there's 90% of places there isn't a problem.
Do you know what?
I reckon there'd be 10% of pet owners that would say, stuff your dits, you're rich, you've got an investment property and you can have my bond and you can pay for the rest of it. That would happen on plenty of times, but...
Probably.
But most times, look, people would do the right thing.
Maybe I'll get burnt, you never know. But you know what I think would be worse in your place? Is someone with infant kids, believe it or not. And I'm not going to say to anyone with kids,
how
no, you can't.
How dare you say that?
They draw on the walls, they spill food, they stain things.
Spew on the carpet.
Of course they do. Yep. Don't you reckon that's
Wee
worse?
On the carpet.
But... We all love kids, and I'd say go your hardest. But that would be worse, I reckon, than having a dog.
Yeah, you probably can't.
Imagine your six kids in my place.
Yeah, exactly. It is.
Bloody hell.
You're probably not allowed to say, no kids. Are you?
No. Oh, but
you can say no dogs, but not no kids.
You would make a decision subconsciously without saying it. You'd meet, you'd say, oh, they're a shootos.
Love
right.
Young children.
Just saw them come through. No, they won't be getting it.
No.
Yeah. One of your kids is liable to burn it down, not just draw on the walls.
Yeah, Nick would if he knew it was yours. fair call. It's interesting stuff.
Pressure. So much pressure.
Adelaide's favourite contest is Triple M's pressure test. And
we've opened the purse strings here, Triple M.
It's now even bigger.
God, the pressure! I can't take it!
Triple M's 5K pressure test with Ruin Dits for breakfast.
Okay, we kept everyone waiting today because we had Tom Coutts and Tonus drop in. Let's get to the $5,000 pressure test, Roo.
Yeah, we give three people a chance to
convince us
to go with it on the $5,000 and have to tell us what they're doing today and... just put a little bit of mayo on it if they can. Let's go to Salisbury. G'day, Nick.
G'day, guys. How you going?
What are you up to today, Nick?
Today, I'm driving my daughter to school, and she really thinks it's pretty uncool. But listening to Ruin Dits gives her the shits.
Oh.
She's always worried about being late, but today she doesn't have to worry. We've got 5K to play.
Oh, not bad, Nick. Not bad. Let's go to Aberfoyle Park. G'day, Leah.
Hey, how you doing?
What are you up to today, Leah?
Well, I have broken ankle, but I'm looking after my husband. It's his birthday, and I am treating him. I am making him lunch and taking him to the movies. And he's a Hawthorn supporter, and I'm a Crows supporter. So what kind of a day do you think I'm having?
How did you break your ankle?
Poor girl.
Walking out the front door, I broke all three bones. Ambulance took 55 minutes.
And any pain relief in the meantime?
Yeah, right. And then they came and gave me that thing to suck on. I tell you, that was like a lollipop.
Yeah, they love the little bit of tube going in the gob. Let's go to Wollonga. G'day, Jack.
G'day, fellas. How you going?
How are you, Jack?
Just step it up a notch there, Jack, or you're no hope. What are you up to today?
I've sent the missus up to the bride, and I'm just looking after the little one today.
Oh, what a bloke.
Good lovely bloke.
Well,
but bad luck there,
righto,
Jack.
Righto, whoever you like.
Let's go straight down before Park. Leah, congratulations.
Hello. Hey, guys.
Have you really got a broken ankle?
I certainly have. I can email you the x-rays.
No, I believe you, Leah. No, right. Righto. Now, your chance to win $5,000 cash if you
I have a good feeling about
correct
this one.
Answers in 30 seconds. Last time we gave away 500, we gave away the 5 grand. We gave away 500 at 7 o'clock. Dits.
Yes.
It's in your hands.
I've got a good feeling about this. I can tell with Leah she's going to get it. All right. In 30 seconds, name 10 reality TV shows.
Big Brother, MasterChef, the Channel 7 one, Survivor, Top Chef, Dancing with the Stars.
Top Chef.
The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, American Idol, America's Next Top Model, The Apprentice, The Voice, Fear Factor, Porn Stars, Jersey Shore, Cops, Deadliest Catch. Oh, I love Deadliest Catch. Yes, Deadliest Catch.
Right.
Oh, it up.
One, you guys two, would love Deadliest
three,
Catch.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Oh, this is for $5,000. $5,000. Hang on.
Oh, God.
I can't breathe.
We've blown the budget. We have blown the budget.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much. Oh, my goodness. And it's my husband's birthday, and he's the Hawthorn supporter. Oh, my goodness.
Good on you, Leah.
Oh, my 7-year-old is so impressed.
Oh, you
and he's
smashed
a close supporter
it.
With me. Thank you so much.
You've won $5,000.
Oh, thank you so much.
What now do you think you'll do?
Well, the ambulance bill's $998.80, so there's a grand launch of there.
You're kidding.
No, that's all right. I got this 5 in the family, so yeah, I can spoil them.
Oh, good on you, Leah.
Good stuff.
Well done.
Oh, thank you so much.
Isn't it a good thing you watch TV? See, there's a big positive in that.
It pays off, doesn't it?
Brilliant stuff, Leah.
I don't watch TV. I listen to the radio all day.
Good on you, Leah.
Good on you, Leah. And now you're $5,000
better
off for it.
You don't have to call us now. You've got it.
Well done.
Thank you.
Stay your ankle gets better.
Stay on the line, Leah.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Well, we are in the midst of another massive MasterChef season. We're on Channel 10.
We are, and we've got Matt Preston joining us. Good morning, Matt.
Gentlemen, how are we?
I didn't recognise you. No cravat. What's going on?
No cravat.
What, you got your tracksuit on?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Come on, mate. You stressed out for us.
I did buy 7 years ago, I bought a signed Adelaide Crows Malcolm Bligh tracksuit for $38 in a blind auction at a charity event. And I reckon it's doubled in value, hasn't it?
Oh, it could go through the roof.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's been inducted as a legend in the AFL Hall of Fame.
I was out for dinner the night before the awards at Peel Street.
Right.
And they were all the great and the good from the AFL, apart from Gillen, were there, you know.
Really?
Mr. Lethleen was there.
Right.
And Mr. Campbell was there. And
Right.
Hey, tell us about Peel Street, because we're proud of our restaurants here.
Oh, it's great.
How do you rate it?
Oh, it's fantastic. There's a real enthusiasm and generosity about Adelaide restaurants, and Peel Street fits into that, where you go to a restaurant, they've got plates for sharing. It's normally a bite each. At Peel Street, when you order, you know, the mussels and pippies, it comes in a huge bowl. It's two bits of bread with garlic mayonnaise on the top.
Nice.
So, food's great. It's always been really good. I mean, I've followed Jordan's career for a long time. It's a real consistent restaurant. It's open on Mondays now, which is great. So, yeah, look, I really like that. It's like Africola's, the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, generosity, enthusiastic. You go and get a decent feed and really good tucker.
The standard of food is just continually going through the roof, isn't it? It's just changing and changing and changing.
Well, look, you've got Chiabo now opening, which has been amazing. There's just so much.
What's the big Barossa one?
Henley Farm is amazing.
How do you rate that? I reckon that's the best food experience I've had.
You know, when we were filming in the Barossa, I had to go back a day early, and the boys, George and Gary, went up there, and they had one of the best meals of that year. They said it was unbelievable. Lachlan Colwell has been amazing. He's been there a long time, and he's got a great young team up there.
Isn't he local, that as well?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but that's the whole thing.
From Freeland.
selling.
I think it's this whole idea that, you know, there's great restaurants not just in Adelaide, but also you go out into the winelands and there's great stuff there as well.
Awesome.
Rue, could you imagine, you know, your little couple out there trying to cut your way through and trying to cut your teeth, and these three walk in for a meal? Would you pop yourself all you go, bloody hell.
You know what is the problem is we are such food tragics that we come in, we're probably more excited than they are. You know.
But you must get some funny reactions.
You know what it is? I think there's kind of, they're shocked at the beginning, but the good operators just do what they always do
and trust themselves
and back yourself. Don't overthink it.
Tell me, this is a question without notice, but I could eat pizza nearly every day of my life. I love it.
And you have got one of the best pizza restaurants.
I wanted to ask you, your best pizza you've had in Australia?
I think it's probably Pizza and Mozzarella Bar. Here in Adelaide.
Well, that's what you said.
I think that is an amazing. They do an amazing job, and I was in Naples a couple of years back. So I was out with the vice president of the Worldwide Neapolitan Pizza Foundation, and
vice president,
and his wife went to school with my wife.
Isn't that kidding?
So, but we ate great pizza. The pizza in Naples is worth a trip. But I reckon Pizza and Mozzarella Bar's a match. That whole thing of pizza being, we had this big move. Pizza is all about the dough, right? But the real secret for great pizza is the tomato sauce. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I learned when I was in Naples, what they do is they use those San Marzano tomatoes. But what they do is they put them in, because they're tough as old boots, those plum tomatoes, they let them dry out. They put them in those string bags and hang them for 6 months.
Really?
And then they cut out the little where the calyx used to be, and they use that as a sauce. And what's happened is the tomatoes kind of dehydrated a bit. So you get this really intense, super sweet, super bitter sauce. And that's why when you go to Naples, you know, one of the great pizzas is literally just tomato sauce, bit of garlic, and nothing else. Wow. And it's heaven. So pizza's, you know, food of the gods.
You're not allowed to have three toppings, any more than three toppings in Italy, are you?
No, well, yeah, no.
Not meant to.
No, you're not supposed to. But having said that, there is a certain joy about a banana, bacon, chicken and barbecue sauce pizza.
What?
You know,
I've heard that before.
And as we all know, George and I have a big theory about this, that wherever you go in Australia, no matter how bad the pizza is, the Hawaiian is always your pick.
Yeah.
Because no matter how matchsticky the ham is, you put a bit of pineapple on there.
He died the other day.
Yeah.
I thought he said George. Pineapple. I was going to go, really? I haven't heard. I saw the inventor of the Hawaiian pizza died. I know that was I had a bit of a mummy because, you know. Yeah. You know,
they cremated him in a pizza oven, though, Regan.
Oh, wouldn't that be great? And then sprinkled him as topping on some fine rough leaf pineapple.
Hey, some of the food you brought out with all the farmers last week, I saw that episode.
Oh,
the
vegetarian stuff.
Brilliant.
It was
beautiful
great.
Looking
yeah.
stuff. And the kingfish. Yeah, and all
look,
that.
Look, I think is that there is that thing. You bring someone like Yota Mutalingi, he's such a beautiful human being, and they really want to impress him. But the weird thing about that one, you know, you always have favourites. I think watching at home, you have an idea of who the best cooks are. All the best cooks were on the team that lost.
Yeah,
and
that right?
that's the beauty about MasterChef. You just, it's like Game of Thrones. You just don't know who's going to go home next.
Matt, we love it when you come in, mate.
Our pleasure, mate.
You're welcome anytime. MasterChef is Sunday to Thursday on Channel 10 at 7:30. Matt Preston, our guest.
104.7 Triple M.
And the footy is back in play, spilling around. And there's the siren. The Hawks win it by 14 points. Clarks it with some of his magical dust. Four premiership players back into the side and some guts and determination. See the Hawks get over the top of the table, pros.
Very happy team at Hawthorn. When you upset first place on the ladder and when you're 7-8, that is a very big win. They were pretty good, Hawthorn. Bought the pressure, bought the heat, bought four premiership players back into the side. And, beat Adelaide, who were pretty ordinary again.
Why all the turnovers last night? I couldn't believe how many players kicked straight to the opposition. Was it a high-pressure game?
It was, had pressure on, and Hawthorn also played a loose behind the play. That at the start of the game, Warren Treadrow thought this is silly because they're leaving Jake Lever loose, and Sicily or Hodge was a loose for them, but they did a real good job back there. Not only did they make the Crows bomb the ball in long and go for wrong options going forward, but when they did get the ball, Hawthorn, because they had the extra man down back, they actually moved the ball quite well from back line to the forward line and got some easy goals. But Adelaide's inefficiency in the second quarter was really, really frustrating at the ground. Drop marks that Tex probably dropped three or four, missed kicks, bad decision making with their skills. It was really frustrating to watch Adelaide in that second quarter, though. I think they went into half time about 18 points up or something like that. Should have been 8 goals up at halftime, but they just out of form and lack of confidence. I thought they actually looked really sluggish in the second half at times, Adelaide. I think they're a bit too tall. I think they need to get a bit more speed back in the side, perhaps drop one of their tools and bring in another midfielder. But that's one that's got away. That's going to hurt them now. So they've lost to Hawthorn at 17th. I think North Melbourne were about 16th on the ladder when they lost to them. So, you know, how you always look back on the season at the end of the year and say, gee, that game cost us. Well, those two games are going to cost them later on in the year.
Well, your next game's Carlton at the MCG Saturday week. Now, all of a sudden,
Nothing's easy.
Tough as well.
Nothing's easy. I mean, you saw what Brisbane did against Port Adelaide a couple of weeks ago. I mean, those bottom sides are going quite well, and Carlton have been going better than they've gone for several years at the moment. So if you play like they played last night, any side can beat them. So they're in a rut, Adelaide. They've been in a rut for about, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, and they've got to get themselves out of it. Otherwise, they'll be back in the middle of the pack very quickly.
Are you getting enough out of the midfield?
Look, the midfield were okay last night. I don't think they were the problem. I thought the back line looked out of sorts last night, looked shaky as they've been. I thought the forward line looked out of form last night as well. I thought Jacobs was great in the first half. I thought Sloane played a better game, but not up to his standard. He got tagged again. I thought Matt Crouch was quite good. I thought Brad Crouch was okay at best. I think a few players had real average nights. Like Atkins' decision making was poor. Miller didn't do a lot. Cameron was okay early and then got an injury and didn't do much after that. So there was a fair few players down. They'll wake up today, they'll open their eyes, and the first word that comes out of their mouth will be a four-letter word starting with F, I reckon. They'll be really annoyed with themselves. And you know what? The best thing for them to be will be annoyed with themselves all the way through the weekend until next week, and then do something about it next weekend.
Don't miss a minute of Ruin Dits for Breakfast on the Catch Up podcast. For Adelaide Tools, with 5 locations, Paraka, Lonsdale, St Mary's, Gawler and Mile End. Or go online at adelaidetools.com.au.